This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, we are at the halfway point of life. Welcome to episode 38 of your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. Yes, we are exactly 6 months in to 2015 and everything, life, sports, pop culture, placetobenation.com, and of course, professional wrestling. So, as principal of Main Event High School, I have my highly reputable teachers in front of me to grade their students. For tonight, we are going to give the halfway point grades for the WWE and NXT rosters. And then, of course, later on, Chapter 4 of the highly regarded and possible award-nominated oral history of TNA. Tonight, we delve into 2006. But I can't do that alone. Let me bring in three-quarters of the core four. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, Steve Willey, is on vacation. And we hope everything is safe and he's giving conscience to others. But I have the other three here, including a guy, Jesus, I haven't talked to in ages. The Boogie of the Bayou is here. Now, I may not have heard him talk to him live on a podcast, but you've all heard him on his awesome NBA team podcast. Him and Adam Murray have gotten you through the NBA playoffs, and now the draft, and now free agency. Mr. Andrew Reich, you're just getting deluged, my friend.
If I'm the teacher for this one, am I Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds?
You are not White Gold, as what's his name called her in the Uptown Funk. What's his name?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars. Michelle Pfeiffer, that White Gold. You are not White Gold.
But don't forget, Bruno Mars didn't sing that song. It was the DJ that pushed two buttons that sang that song.
Yes. Mr. Reich, it's good to have you on, man.
No problem.
It's been a busy spring for you. It's good to have you back on Main Event.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who, just like somebody we talked about in the oral history of TNA, can do many things with a sheep mask and a lawnmower, Mr. Jordan Duncan.
If Reich gets to pick what teacher he is, I'd like to be Mr. Tuttle from Bayside. I'm fat and I usually have no idea what's happening, so...
You could be Ben Stein in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Reich.
Willie.
Well, no, Willie'd have his hand up. Mr. Duncan, JD, pleasure as always. And finally, making a pit stop here, because then we won't hear from him for quite a while. He seems kind of like the Brock Lesnar of this show now. But he is still my favorite person on the planet. He is he is an incredible contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com, the purveyor of Marvel.com, and your monthly host for the Place to Be Nation Rewind series, Mr. Ben Morris.
Scott, my good, close, personal friend, I am fired up to be here, man. I do feel like I have not been on this. I feel like I was on a month ago, but it seems longer. The absence grows longer. Excited to be the Coolio tonight. For this Dangerous Minds review.
So me and Ben are just going to stare at each other at a table for 5 minutes.
So you're not Weird Al?
No. I have the street cred of Coolio, Andrew's just going to keep flipping his chair around, just trying to get different angles to look at me from as we try to figure out a way to get Mojo Rawley off the streets.
Andrew's going to read you Bob Dylan lyrics to win you over.
Yes. Who had cooler hair, Coolio or Old Dirty Bastard?
Which ODB? The other ODB always had awesome hair.
Yeah, good segue.
Yeah, thank you.
Good setup for later.
Yes. Gentlemen, you've got your report cards in front of you.
Yes.
We are going to grade the roster. This is the second time we've done this. We did it last year as well, because today is July 1st as we're recording, so it has exactly been 6 months. We've had a myriad of pay-per-views, network specials, etc., etc. So let us go over the a WWE roster. We'll do that in this segment, and then in the second segment, we'll do the NXT roster, and of course, our oral history of Total Nonstop Action, Part 4, 2006.
Is that up for a Razzie Award?
Possibly. I mean, 2005 had... I mean, our 2005 when we did last episode was pretty good, even though, I mean, there was some good stuff in 2005, the one really good pay-per-view, and then, of course, you know, Samoa Joe came in. There were some decent spots in 2005, but, of course, as usual, there are plenty of stinkers, and there'll be plenty of stinkers.
2006 was a decent year for TNA, so it actually, there may be some devil's advocate, because I know the source we're going from, which I love, and they point out all the bad stuff. We may have to... We may have to play devil's advocate a bit and point out.
Oh, entirely. No, there were definitely.
We might have to play revisionist history here.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a chance we'll do that. So anyway, we'll do that in the second segment. Okay. I will go around the horn, gentlemen. I'm going to totally give you random guys. I might go alphabetically, but I might skip around. And give me your letter grade for their first 6 months of the year. And give me kind of a prognosis or of what you think the next 6 months will bring us for that particular superstar. All right? I'll go alphabetically from who I always call. So, Boogie, you will go first. Are you ready?
I'm trying to get my ink pen. Ready.
All right.
So your ink pen?
Is it an eraser, mate?
No, I was trying to find the red one. But
the red one. All right. Let me go.
Did I mention I was colorblind?
All right.
Are you legitimately colorblind?
In one eye, I am.
Because I am, and that's offensive.
Great, we have to lose all the colored jokes now.
That's it, I'm out of here.
Drop them. All those red-green jokes you had for segment two.
Damn it, yes.
You know that color red? I hate that color red.
Damn it. You know, TV Land pulled the Dukes of Hazzard because they don't like the color orange. It's just really stupid. All right. That's not the reason, of course. There's an even stupider reason, but that's another topic for another day.
It will
all right.
Rise again. It will.
All right. Mr. Riche. New Day. Collectively. Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. Give me a grade for the first 6 months. Why? And your prognosis for the next 6 months.
I'll say this before I give out the grades. I think the grade I'm giving here is better than the one that I'm going to give going forward because I just don't like. I'll give the current grade now. I'd say like a B minus because even though they've done themselves well and they've gotten themselves over almost like the same way that Damian Mizdow did and some other guys did on the mid card level, I still feel like the New Day collectively as a tag team has still kind of like reached a point where I feel like they've peaked. I kind of get that un-American vibe out of them or like Crime Time where, you know, they did well for themselves in the short term, but in the long term, I just don't like the prospects of it. But for this point of time between January when they kind of got together and now in June, they've done about as well as they possibly can, but I feel like they maxed out at about a B minus. Like, I think their matches have been good, but I give more credit there to Cesaro and Kid. And their tag run was fun. You know, I think the heel shtick has actually worked in their favor, even though it was kind of by accident. But going forward, I really don't like their chances. In fact, I would predict that they'll be broken up by the end of the year.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Mr. Duncan, JD, one of your favorites.
Aren't they all?
Yes. The Big Show.
Oh, it's so hard for me not just to say F and move on.
I'm doing this on purpose. You got to work for this one. Come on.
So we're going from January to the end of June.
To yesterday.
We really haven't seen, well, I guess we have seen him. But he took about a month off after, what was it, Backlash, and then showed back up with the Ryback thing. It's hard because I'm going to try not to hold the booking against the performer. I think the biggest problem with Big Show's booking early in the year was that he was getting put over guys that when he should have been used to put people over. You know what I mean? I immediately think of the Rumble with him and Kane just tossing guys out like they were trash. And that's not really Big Show's fault. So I guess when we're looking at a grade, if I'm just – I'm going to grade, and you guys can grade differently. I'm going to grade on – how well they did in the role they had, not so much how they were booked, because it'd be really easy to give a lot of people C's and D's and only a few guys some really good grades that way. the secret about Big Show is that even though he's not used in the right capacity, he always seems to be good at what he's out there to do. I mean, he makes people look good. So I'm still not going to give him a real good grade because he's the Big Show and it's 2015. You know what I mean? Like, and he's still out there. But I'll be generous and give him a straight C. I would say an F for the booking for the most part. But a little higher on. I mean, that match with Reigns, did I say Backlash earlier?
You did.
I did. Old school. Backlash. I just realized I said that.
I didn't even catch it until you just said it again, to be honest with you.
I almost said it again just now. But that was probably his best match of the half year, and I don't see him doing anything at that level in the next 6 months, especially if he's working with Ryback and The Miz and anything else. I'll just go see, because I don't think that a lot of my complaints about Big Show are really about Big Show, if that makes sense.
Okay, it does make sense. I agree. I think so. I mean, he should just be Big Show, but he's, you know, it's, again, 16 years now.
I guess the word I would use for him is they could have a good role for him. He could be a guy that is past his prime and kind of on his way down and putting over the younger stars, and they did it with Reigns and not a whole lot of other guys. So
have any of you guys, let's jump in real quick, have any of you guys listened to him on Jericho's podcast?
Big Show? No.
Yeah. No.
The most interesting thing about that, and I would recommend it, I think you'd actually find it really interesting, Jordan, is his own self-awareness. I think he's actually, be funny to say, he's closer to Jordan's way of thinking than he is to WWE's way of thinking when it comes to him. Like, he basically, like, exactly the thing you described as far as, like, what he thinks his role should be, he laid out on Jericho's podcast and didn't, like, outright say WWE is using me the wrong way, but kind of said, he actually said, I think his best line was, he goes, sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be smiling or frowning. They've turned me so many times. And it was like, okay. Like he's always been well-spoken and entertaining. We know that. But it's like, it's just everything Jordan was saying. I was like, yep, right on, right on, right on. Because like, it's just funny. Like, Big Show thinks the same way, I think. I think he'd rather be doing the stuff he did with Reigns than being at the end of the Rumble, you know? Yeah.
Or so. Winning the Battle Royal at Mania. And,
exactly. Yeah,
which I didn't even mention, but.
Benjamin.
See.
Bray Wyatt.
First of all,
that'd be a hard one.
This is a tough one. And to give myself time to do it, I'm going to do some mental gymnastics by saying that, first of all, I have to give a special grade of double E to my colleague, Jordan Duncan, both for effort and for excellence in his professionalism and maturity in the way he handled that last answer.
That's right.
You tried to torpedo him right off the bat.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Scott.
He held his composure.
I'm going to get a Bella next. Just watch.
So Bray Wyatt, man. Bray's tough for me because the same way Jordan was saying, like, you know, or actually more what Reach was saying about New Day, where it's like he kind of goes as far as he can. I think Bray, we all feel like he should go further. And I think we had a lot of trouble with him in this report card last year, too, because we talked about, like, man, it seems like he's right there, right? It seems like he's on the verge of having just being a huge, huge star. But then the two things consistently holding him back are his cryptic promos that don't seem to go anywhere. And the fact that he just really doesn't deliver in the ring. My favorite match that Bray had this semester. Let's call it this semester.
It is, in essence. Yep.
It's the spring.
My favorite match Bray had this semester was against Ryback at Extreme Rules. Or Backlash, as some people call it. He had a great match.
At the Silver Dome.
Yeah. And that was a great program, too. You know, because it was basically, it was the most traditional program Bray's had, where he basically just came out, said, I don't like this guy, and I'm going to have a feud with him. There was no, like, well, what's he really saying in his promos? And there was no match to be disappointed on. So I guess the thing with Bray is, when your expectations are tempered, he delivers. When he's in there with Undertaker and you want this epic WrestleMania match, he's going to let you down because he's just, he's not as good as we want him to be. So great on the first half of the year. He had that strong run in the Rumble that no one enjoyed. He had the match with Taker that no one really got into. Good match with Ryback. Disappeared for a while. Now he's doing the thing with Reigns. I think I'd have to put him around the C range as well. I just think he's a guy who we all want to be in the A range. We'd be satisfied if he was in the B range, but he keeps sinking down to C. And again, it's not really, I don't know if it's on him or not, because he showed in the Ryback match he obviously can have good matches. Mm-hmm. I think it's, maybe it's WWE just throwing him to the wolves. And this I'll go with something Jordan always talks about, how the young guy is not getting put over. I think Bray, every time they throw him in there with a huge veteran or a huge star, they don't make him. And so it just keeps diminishing him more and more. I'd like to see more of him feuding with guys his own generation and picking up some solid wins over the Rybacks, the Zigglers of the world, so that then next time you catapult him into a program with an Undertaker or Cena, I believe in him more. So C for right now. I don't like that he's in a program with Reigns right now, because I think he's going to lose and I don't think he can afford it. And then I think he's going to kind of continue his pattern where it's always main event feud, cool off, main event feud, cool off. So I think he'll probably spend the summer and fall cooling off again. Mm-hmm. That was a long answer, guys. I'm going to try to make that my longest one of the night. Mm-hmm. I was very self-aware the entire time.
You self-aware yourself.
Yeah.
So back when Bray Wyatt wrestled it over the edge, all right. Rish, I'm going to give you an announcer.
Oh.
And then I'll give you a wrestler. Okay, because the announcer doesn't have to be a long answer. So Booker T.
I have to go by the announcer, not by the sampling we've seen in Tough Enough, right?
Right.
Right.
So in replacement of Jerry Lawler. it depends on what kind of curve you're grading on.
Right.
The Lawler curve.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, that's like an A+, I guess, because of, because of Lawler. In general, he's, a C, if we're considering that on this kind of scale, like average is C. Yeah. I'd say Booker T as an announcer is a C. I don't think he's taken too much away from the announcing portion of Raw, but I don't think he's provided a lot more,
Okay. All right, and now your wrestler.
New Day, top of the class with that B- right now.
I was thinking, in my personal opinion, there's a lot of C's out there.
Not a lot of
B+ players. Yeah, how he made fun of him and called him a B+ player? I was like, well, guess what? That was probably the best one you had.
They killed the B+ players on this draft.
Yes.
Right.
Speaking of C's, this guy's name begins with one. Mr. Rish.
Dynamite segue.
Cesaro.
If we're just going by work rate, I mean, Cesaro is always an A. I mean, he's constantly putting in great matches. I just watched him with Cena. I haven't seen Raw in so long. And then I watched him and Cena, and I know they've had great matches before, but that one was incredible. And, that it might be kind of like a reinvigoration of a singles push that, like I was saying with the New Day, may have kind of happened by accident because of Tyson Kidd's neck injury. So we'll see where that goes there with Kevin Owens. So maybe his grade going forward will be better because he'll get a little bit more of a, more of a spotlight in the fall than he has in the spring and in the summer. I had my fears when he linked himself with Kidd as a tag team, because I had the fear that it was going to kind of peg him down, because Tyson Kidd was a lower card guy. But the way that they kind of helped each other to try to raise their game as the tag team champions, I think it just speaks to how great Cesaro is as a worker. I still worry about him as a promo guy, so I'd say a B+. I wish I could say an A, but if it was an A, I mean, Cesaro would probably be main eventing these specials right now.
Excellent. JD, I'm going to give you also like a half grade, or a person who is not a full grade, and then I'll give you a regular person. Not regular, but I mean a regular. Since he's your guy, and he's the reason that you're so pissed off at the world, give me as much as you can for these first 6 months a grade for Daniel Bryan.
When I was in high school, my senior year of high school, I missed almost all of my last 2 months of my senior year because I got mono, which really sucked. And part of that was in order to graduate, I had to take finals and things like that from home and stuff like that. Well, one of the classes I had happened to be swim class. And you can't take a swim class final if you don't have a pool. And so I got an incomplete on my report card. And I feel like that's just kind of what you have to give Daniel Bryan, an incomplete, because he didn't really do enough to earn any kind of grade. You know, he came back at the Rumble. He had a really good match with Roman Reigns. He was in a ladder match, and that's about it. I mean, the matches we saw were excellent, of course. I feel like, I don't know if that's a cop-out, but I'd just go incomplete with him.
Now, what if Daniel actually took the swim class?
Well, if you watched Tough Enough last night, he did a lot better than Alex did.
No, he said on Tough Enough he couldn't swim.
Oh, really?
No. Okay.
Well, then you do a diving headbutt right into the water. That'd be my guess. And unfortunately, my prognosis for the next 6 months is probably a lot more the same, which it bums me out. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm your boss. I can do what the fuck I want. You want to teach like Miss Bliss? You want Miss Bliss's class next?
Well, you
shut your pie hole and take what I give you.
I mean, to interject, I like what Jordan's saying is that there's a difference between, you know, the student that always aces things, but he doesn't try hard all the time, and the one that really does want to try hard but can't be there all the time. Right. You know, and that's where Daniel Bryan falls, that second category. Okay. It's a shame.
All right. Well, then here's your other one, JD.
Okay.
Your tag team champions, the Primetime Players.
Gosh, that one's interesting. Because for a good part of the year, they were kind of MIA. I mean, when did they even get back together? Somebody refresh my memory there. Was it after Mania?
It was
after Ascension came back, because that's what got them together, right? Was Ascension beating down...
Titus made the save.
When Ascension came in, the tag division was red hot. So
yeah, that's right. Primetime Players are a good example of guys who maybe overachieve. Because, I mean, I think both of them are good, especially Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil is a great hot tag. But we've seen on their own as singles, and of course, a lot of it, you know, you go to booking and stuff like that. For whatever reason, they didn't make it on their own. So you put them together, and I mean, they're not setting the world on fire or anything like that. But they're a really nice little act that comes out, does their job, does it well, and seems to be improving. So I think I'm going to go a little higher with the grade maybe than others would, simply because I think that if you were just to look at those two on paper, you would not be impressed. But they always seem to do a decent enough job. I really, really think that Titus O'Neil is a great hot tag, and that's something that they could develop. I don't if Darren Young just becomes a Ricky Morton of 2015, they could really maybe fall into something there. So I'm going to go, and since I gave a C, and we've seen so many Cs, I'll go a little higher and just give him a B- for now. For the next 6 months, I don't know, because it just seems like with tag teams, they just forget about teams. A team will get red hot and they'll start doing so much, and then we just don't see them again. Now they have the belt, so that at least guarantees they'll be around for a little bit, maybe. But if they lose the belts, then that would worry me, mm-hmm. that we won't even see them on TV for a while. So for now, I'll give them a B-.
Okay. Benjamin. Dean Ambrose.
A++ for Jordan Duncan's swimming analogy. Dean Ambrose, plenty to say about him. Hopefully not as much as I had to say about Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
The greatest, maybe one of my favorite things about this first half of the year was seeing that Dean Ambrose can survive bad booking, because that's all the second half of 2014 and the first bit of 2015 was. Seeing that he can still be over, and when called upon and given the right role, he can kill it. His feud with Seth Rollins, anytime they want to ignite that, to me, it's the Rock Triple H of this generation. I don't call it Rock Stone Cold because it doesn't feel like that seminal main event WrestleMania feud, but to me, Triple H and Rock was always that, okay, they feel like each other's natural rivals, and anytime you put them in there, it's going to be red hot. Mm-hmm. That's what Rollins and Ambrose feels like to me. And Ambrose, his 3-show run in the main event, I thought was spectacular. I thought he stepped up his game in ring, which people have been criticizing him for getting a little lazy with the brawling and the repetitive moves. And as a character, great work. Problem with Dean Ambrose is it seems when they give him anything else to do besides feuding with Seth Rollins in the main event, he falls apart a little. Not the performer, more just it's not compelling. It's not interesting. I didn't really get into his feud with Luke Harper, which in theory should have been tailor-made for him to brawling wild men. His pursuit of the IC title, I wasn't that into it. So you've got this guy who's really good, but seemingly only at one thing. I'd like to see him expand that. I like the work they've done with his character. This is something I hit on a lot towards the end of last year. What bothered me is that it was clearly established that he did not care about winning, which to me is always a terrible flaw in a wrestling character. Because if you don't care about winning, then why not just go out there, hit someone with a chair and get DQ'd? You don't care. When they focused on him actually wanting titles, I thought that helped him a lot. But they need to find a way to make him interesting outside of, you know, feuding with the other guys in the Shield. What's he going to do for the second half of the year? Really hard to tell. I don't know what his direction is from here. If the Roman Reigns turn happens, which I still would like it to, I know I'm not, you know, necessarily supported by everyone in that. I could see him doing something with Reigns. Otherwise, really hazy. I don't know what he'll do. I guess he'll just continue being kind of a baby face who they pull up to the main event when they need him. As far as letter grade, I want to put him a little bit above what we've talked about so far, because like I said, when he's on, he's on. But at the same time, I don't think he's not in that A stratosphere yet. So I'll give him a straight B and say if he ever can figure out how to capture that lightning in a bottle he has with Rollins and use it more frequently, he's going to shoot right up to the A range and hopefully world title status.
All right, I'm going to have to go talk to the teachers union, because last time I checked, you don't get paid by the word. So the next time, stop stealing Rish's words, okay?
You know, no. I think there's an easy tweak for Dean Ambrose, too, is with, like Ben said, I totally agree with the he doesn't care about winning thing. You just make it so it's not that he doesn't care about winning, it's that he doesn't care what happens to himself.
Yeah, you know? I agree with
that's,
that.
That's
sure.
Such a simple tweak that's small, and you kind of get the same attitude and scenarios.
Yeah,
but he still wants to win, and that's what costs him, is that he hurts himself. You know. Anyways, sure. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He'll do anything to win.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Andrew.
Yes.
Dolph Ziggler.
I'm hesitating here because with Dolph, and it's been like this since the fall, but we're not counting the fall of 2014, where things seem to be going so well for Dolph, and then it seemed like in the spring it kind of stop, start, and it feels that way again, and then there's all these rumors about the renegotiations in his contract, whether or not that's playing into his, you know, into what's going on with his role on television when it comes to, like, losing and winning. And I agree with Dolph in that interview he did where he said putting too much – you can't put too much into how much you win and how much you lose, you know, in recent weeks about how your contract is going, because all signs point to him staying. So thankfully, this previous 6 months isn't the last we're going to see of Dolph Ziggler in the WWE, because he's great. And so, you know, he's done so well in the matches. You know, I think he's a natural babyface in this era of WWE. The Lana thing has kind of worried me, where I don't want it to be like a hindrance to Dolph, and I see that they're trying to make sure it's not by having Lana like not be like his steady, you know, at ringside and such. You know, she's kind of away, and so Dolph can do his thing on his own and try to make his own way instead of just being Lana's main squeeze. So you know, he's not always winning, you know, but he wins more often than the others do on the mid-card level. But he's not getting the world title pushes. Right. He's not getting those main event spots. You know, he's kind of like in the same vibe as Bray Wyatt, where, you know, he's got the potential to work with great guys and have great matches, but it's not coming to fruition the way we thought it was when he got that big push in the fall. So I'd give him a B, because nothing has really stood out for Dolph, but his matches have still been good nonetheless.
Okay, excellent. JD.
Yes.
El Torito. No, I'm only kidding. I give him a D. Eric Rowan.
That's hard, man. I know I said I wasn't going to base my grades on the booking and more of the performance, but that's hard. I feel like Rowan has suffered a lot because of booking. You know, when he got that singles run, that started around November, I think, is when he really started as a single. So just thinking, I'm going to have to go low just because I'm sitting here trying to think of what he's done in the last 6 months, and I can't think of much. I mean, I know he got killed by the Big Show a lot, and now he's back with Harper and he's hurt, but very unmemorable. I don't think he's bad. I think he's improved in the ring as a worker, but I don't think that he's great by any means. I think he was pretty weak a while back. He was okay at power, and that was about it. I'm going to go low just because, like I said, I'm struggling to think of anything noteworthy he did, so I'm going to go with a C-. I won't give him a D because I don't want to hold bad booking against him. I think, like, going back to my Big Show grade, Big Show killed Eric Rowan a lot. And it was just such backwards booking for 2015. But man, I really can't think of anything that Rowan's done that's made me say, well, he did this or he's done that. You know, he learned a spin kick, I guess, but that was in 2014. So I'm going to go C-.
Okay. Benjamin.
No.
Kane.
Kane. Oh,
thank God.
I wasn't going to make JD have to do both. I couldn't do that.
I firmly believe Eric Rowan was not initially going to be evaluated, and then you just realized where the spinner had landed, didn't want to give him to Jordan. Kane. I'm not a guy who hates Kane as much as the next guy. Literally the next guy.
Literally,
Jordan.
The previous
guy.
But man, the booking has done him no favors. The role he's been placed in has done him no favors. I find him kind of a guilty pleasure sometimes in terms of when they play up the fact that it's ridiculous that he's in this authority role, like when they use it for kind of comedic effect, like, you know, he's Kane. He's this masked pyromaniac crazy person, but he's wearing a suit, you know, using big corporate words. That to me is funny. That's pretty much where it ends, though. His matches aren't good. It's hard to take him seriously as a credible threat. He's done terrible damage to Seth Rollins' title reign just by being involved, either whether he's helping him or whether he's undermining him or whether he's overshadowing him. So I will say where he's – Jordan gave Big Show a C for – maybe not being the best, but at least, like, you know, doing some good stuff in his role, putting over Reigns, stuff like that. Kane, I got to give, say, a D plus. He really has been more subtractive than additive in the never ending authority angle. I hate to do it. Because again, I don't hate Kane. I don't see what he's adding to the show. As far as the second half of the year, at some point, he's going to have a match with Seth Rollins. It's inevitable. I think, if I'm going with my gut, he's close to the end of his career and they want to give him one more babyface run. So I would say probably in the fall is going to be when he finally splits with the authority, has his match with Seth Rollins, and then maybe heads towards wrapping things up, if not next year, then soon after.
Mm. Okay. I thought that was very diplomatic of you, Benjamin.
Also, he's the only guy who can take out Brock Lesnar on the current roster.
Yes.
So they need him for that.
Yeah.
I agree with Ben about corporate Kane. Like, old-time Kane, if Seth Rollins gave him, like, a trip to Hawaii, you know, old-time Kane would have been like, this is fucking stupid.
Just show him in a volcano.
Yeah. He'll swim in the volcano. All right.
Raising his arms and just making all the volcanoes.
Oh, the volcanoes erupt at the same time.
I like do a video of him going to the beach and just being like, man, this is great, and like raising his arms excitedly and accidentally like laying waste to half of Honolulu.
Yes. The water turns to lava.
Yeah, sorry, I have magic powers.
And I'm trying to get this confirmed because I didn't check the news wire. Was that Noelle Foley on the car or was that someone else?
The
car model.
Oh, right. We need Jason Greenhouse on the line.
We need this Greeny. Confirmed.
He could confirm this.
I have read Noelle Foley made a hint on Twitter that it was her, but then Meltzer said it wasn't her.
Hmm.
And now I'm legitimately curious about this.
Yeah, get Jason Greenhouse on the phone. He knows her whereabouts at all times.
Okay.
He gives her an A+.
Just like JD knows where his neighbors are at all times, and he gives them an F. So.
That's right.
All right. Reesh.
Yes.
Kalisto. No, I'm only kidding. Do you want to rate the dragons? Or right? Yeah.
I'll give one a Lu and the other a Cha.
All right. Here's your real one. John Cena.
You know, he came in to the year 2015. He was still embroiled in the Lesnar feud. It looked like they were going to rematch, and then they lumped Rollins into it to try to give him that push going forward. And then we found out later that there was more in the plans for Rollins than we had previously thought. Good for Rollins, but, you know, we're talking about John Cena here. So Cena goes to the Rusev push. Or, you know, he gets the spot with Rusev, you know, with the United States Championship. I can definitely argue the case that John Cena as the U.S. champion, whether or not it's Vince force feeding it or John just being such a great worker who's willing to work with younger guys, has definitely been able to make the United States Championship matter. And if it means that it matters after he drops it, I don't think that's really the point. The point is what you make of it. And John Cena has definitely done something with the U.S. belt that I don't think anybody really has been able to do in the last, 7, 8, 9 years since that belt's been brought back into the fold. And that just speaks to his credibility as a main event guy. But man, he's still such a good worker. You know, his matches with Rusev, solid. You know, they may have been the best ones that Rusev has had outside of maybe one or two other random matches that you can think of. And then the stuff with Kevin Owens. Now, obviously, the Owens feud is not over, so we don't know the fallout. We can only go by what we've seen at this cut line. And what I've seen out of Cena and Owens has been so great. Everybody always has that kind of seeding fear that John Cena is going to come in and, you know, just kind of steal it all from the young guys, kind of suck all the energy out of it. But man, he's such a great worker. He's willing to give back all the time, even if it means he gets the win at the end. So I'd have to give John Cena a B+.
Okay. JD? King Barrett.
You know what's weird is I kind of thought this is who I was going to get. I don't know why. I'm on WWE.com and kind of scrolling through the roster right now, looking at who there is.
Yeah, the same.
Gosh.
Cheating.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to change my thing now.
That's
right, Ben, because you're getting Kyle Edwards next. So.
Great.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Isn't he a NASCAR driver? Who is this guy?
That's Carl Edwards.
Okay.
Oh, God.
King Barrett bums me out, man. He's a guy that I really, really liked in the Bad News character. I felt like when he got hurt and came back, they gave him unnecessary tweaks to the character that weren't needed at all. And they just tried to mix up the formula a little bit. You know, it's just really uneventful. Even though he's on all the time, he's doing nothing. Yeah, he won the King of the Ring. But just like when he was IC champ, it's like they give him a title or a prop and then just have everybody beat him. and it's really hard for me to not hold his booking against him. But I feel like whereas some other guys who've been booked badly but excelled in the ring, Barrett is good, but I can't point to the really great moments that he's delivered. And part of it is because what can he deliver when he's in this basically a comedy role? But I'm going to go ahead and give him a D+, and here's why. I think he has the potential to be like an A or a B. And I really think that they've dropped the ball with him, and maybe like a Cesaro where, you know, you could say, well, what happened to the Cesaro push? Well, Cesaro took his new role and still had incredible matches, and Barrett's not really doing that. Yeah, they're not focusing on him, but and I don't blame him in any way for his role in the company, but I just kind of got to call it for what it is. You know, Barrett's forgettable and almost to the outright bad position. So I'm going to go D based off of what I think he could be.
Okay.
It's frustrating with Barrett because I feel like he's a guy, and I lump Cody Rhodes in this category too, that he can make just about anything work given time and, like, instance. Like, he made the Bad News character work. He can make the Bare Knuckle Fighter work. But whenever he makes something work,
then he goes to something else. Yeah.
Right. They immediately switch him or neglect him. Like, I'm almost like, I know he's going to get the King stuff over at some point because that's what he does. And at that point, they will take the crown away.
Yeah. Right. I like Jordan going all Whiplash on Bad News Barrett because, or King Barrett as they call him now, because you know how you always have that student, and sometimes teachers do this, as even if they don't want to admit it, there's a student that they kind of particularly like, but they want to push them harder, so they deliberately fail them even though they know the work is good. And I think that's what Jordan's doing to King
that's
Barrett,
like my,
and I agree
teacher.
With him.
My swim teacher did that. She gave me mono.
Well, it's better he gave him Whiplash than Backlash.
I give that joke an F.
By the way, Whiplash, great movie.
Yeah, fine film.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Luke Harper.
Underutilized, but at the same time, so good in the ring. And if he could talk, you want to think that maybe he'd have a bigger role. I just, like, he's never given an interview that's particularly compelled me. The character feels a little like of a bygone era, but man, he's so good in the ring. Yeah. And not just in terms of, you know, knows how to work a wrestling match, in terms of his, you know, his characteristics, his motions and everything. Like, it really feels like he could be like a Mankind or even a Brody or something like that. But just gets overlooked because I think he came into wrestling in the wrong era. If this was the 80s or even 10 years ago, it feels like there'd be a place for him. But
I agree.
Guys like Luke Harper are not world champions these days. You know, you look at who are, it's these slick face of the company type guys. So as far as his capabilities, B plus at worst. As far as what he's doing, he's not dragging anything down. When he goes out there, he has a good match. I was kind of excited to see him and Rowan back together. I think they could add a good tag team run, but not super impactful. I'll give him a B minus. It would be a lot lower if he wasn't as good as he was, but he's so good that I think very least gets a B minus. As far as what's coming up for him in the second half of the year, I don't know what the prognosis is on Rowan, but my sense is WWE learned their lesson on those guys being greater together than the sums of their parts. So I feel like you're probably not going to see much of Luke Harper until Rowan comes back. And then when he comes back, they will be the monster heel team. And I think that will be good for both of them. And hopefully it'll give them the exposure on top they need and give them the comfort level that they need as well.
Right.
Yeah. I even think having him be gone for a while will help him, because that's what so many of these guys suffer from, is that we've seen so much of them that nothing they do seems new.
Right. I wouldn't hate, like, rather than just have him out there, you know, jobbing or wrestling on Superstars every week, hold him off. Or send him to, you know what, even better, send him down to NXT until Rowan's ready to come back. Luke Harper mowing through NXT guys until he can come back up to the main roster as a tag team would be tremendous. And those would be great matches, too. Seeing him work with, like, you know, Balor and all the guys down there, that'd be great. Seeing him work with Joe.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
All right. Rish.
Yes.
The Miz.
F.
Jordan.
Okay. No. Can I throw in a D, because his Tough Enough stuff's actually been okay. I think actually he's sort of found his niche as a kind of jack of all trades type of, like, gimmicky host. You know, I think that might be his role as a wrestler.
I feel like if managers were still around, then Miz would be way more important than he is.
Ooh, good call. Real good call. I mean, the reason I think WWE keeps him around is not because he's a great ring performer. It's that he's a good – he's the guy who will get up and do all the radio interviews and comes off credible. Now he's finding a way to – in the nice thing about having the network is there's a role for guys like Miz. Like, he could not wrestle again and find a role. The only problem is he's still wrestling.
So D minus, but in my high school, there was no such thing as a D minus, so –
An F.
I guess F.
Okay. I agree. I think he's thoroughly annoying and is as worn out as usefulness. JD, I'm going to give you two divas.
Okay.
Because I'm going to make Ben suffer because he
it's
doesn't.
Because
no A pluses for them. No.
All right.
I'm going to give you Nikki Bella.
Okay.
Not Brie, just Nikki.
Okay.
And Paige.
Okay. Now, Jordan, just so you don't get confused, Nikki is the one who's the champion right now.
Thanks.
That's not the only difference.
And Jordan, you cannot give them double Ds.
Paige is the black one, right?
That's good since Ben gave double Es earlier.
So. I'll start with Paige.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm looking at both of them on the WWE.com Supersize page, and they're in the almost the exact same pose. So,
I just noticed that, too.
Jordan, I think you were looking at them before the show even started.
What I do on my own time is what I do on my own time. So I'll go with Paige first, and I feel like she's someone who, having seen her NXT work and comparing it to her main roster work, you can't help but feel a little bit let down by it. Because you know what she's capable of again. And, I just gave this grade to somebody else, a Barrett, you know, where I know she's better than what she's doing, but I don't hold that against her entirely. So I'm not going to give her a bad grade, but I'm not going to give her a great grade, because I don't think we've seen her best with Paige. So I'll give her, I'll go B minus. But I think she's got the potential to be an A. Nikki Bella, Ben, brace yourself. Brace yourself, Ben. Nikki Bella has improved so much over the past 6 to 8 months. And they have figured out her character. She is the power wrestler of the women's division. She does good character work. And I think this is the key. This is a backhanded compliment, and I don't mind admitting it. They don't have her talk a ton. They do interviews backstage and stuff, but where the Bellas were at their worst is when they would be out at the ring and talk at ringside and just come off as annoying and loud and just really bad performers in that sense. And they've cut that out, and Nikki Bella has turned into a really solid heel women's champion, to the point where the Nikki and Paige feud has interest. You know, you want to see who Paige gets to help her conquer the Bellas, and you want to see Paige conquer Nikki and take that belt. And that's not all credit for Paige. Nikki's done really good in her role. So with the opposite of Paige, where I downgraded her based off her expectations, I'm going to boost Nikki's up a little bit, knowing where she's been, because she used to be really, really bad. And I'm going to give her a B+. I think she's gotten to a point where she's pretty darn good to watch in the ring. What do you think of that, Ben? I think he's fainted.
He doesn't.
Yes. It's like someone you came on the air tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. I think the last thing Nikki Bella needs is to be boosted up, but, you know, takes the compliment.
Hey, Jordan, brace yourself, because I like your point, and I'm going to give you an NBA comparison.
All right.
The Golden State Warriors won the NBA championship because they went small, and Cleveland couldn't match it.
And Nikki did not.
Yeah.
I think you make a good point, and I've noticed this in NXT too, that you don't – that the girls are able to play – to wrestle strong style even if they don't have the strongest frame or the tallest height, because they're able to kind of diversify their skills. And I think that's what Nikki has forced herself to do, because she knows that these girls in NXT – they call them the four horsewomen, you know, the four horsewomen of wrestling, I guess – that because they're going to be coming up pretty soon in the next 6 months, and they know they have to pick up their work rate or they're going to get blown by. Yep. And Nikki as a power wrestler actually works, because everybody – there's really no like bronze. There's no Nicole Basses. There's no Jazzes anymore in in the WWE, and she can make that work.
All right. Benjamin, you'll get – we'll do one more with you, and then we'll take a break. Randy Orton.
Oof, Randy Orton. Man, so psyched for Randy Orton to come back. And I feel like, isn't this the Randy Orton story that, like, the minute, I feel like we've said this on before, the minute he does something, you get excited about him, and then within 5 minutes, you remember it's Randy Orton. like, the minute he turns heel, it's like, oh, he's such a great heel. The minute he turns babyface, like, oh, I'm so excited for him to be babyface. I thought they blew his comeback big time.
I agree.
Because he was red hot when he left, and then they just brought him back, like, really matter-of-factly at Fastlane. And then that storyline with him trying to, like, re-infiltrate the authority, I thought was just terrible. So I think that killed his heat out the gate. I think he was kind of a lame duck challenger for Rollins because obviously he wasn't going to take the title. So he didn't get a lot of opportunity to deliver in this period. He's still a good wrestler. He's still a solid promo. He also suffers from the fact that, and I think this is the same thing Cena suffered from, is that they both, you know, got pushed so young that by the time they're hitting what should be their wrestling prime, we're already sick of them because they've been around for 15 years. But with Orton, where Cena is reinventing himself and having all these great matches with the younger guys, Orton just kind of seems to be treading along. Mm-hmm. So it's a long way of saying that I really don't have much to say about Randy Orton. he's doing the same thing he's always done. He's solid, so you can't dock him for being, you know, a lousy worker. So you can't put him at the FD level. At the same time, he hasn't done anything nearly compelling enough to put him in the A range. So mm-hmm. it's a matter of whether he gets a C plus or a B minus. And I'll knock him down to a C plus just based on the fact that his comeback was so crappy. Mm-hmm. As far as the second half of the year, I think that if WWE's smart, they'll realize that they do have a second John Cena who can go out there and have feuds with some of these younger guys. I'd love to see Orton mix it up with a Kevin Owens or mix it up with even a Neville or something like that. I think they could have great matches. I hope they don't keep sticking him with guys we've seen he can't do anything with, like Sheamus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully he can go one of two ways. He can keep being the same Randy Orton they've already always had when they're an incredible name we need to keep him, or they could do something interesting with him. I do not have high hopes. Despite being the eternal optimist, I do not have high hopes here.
Okay. Excellent job so far, professors. When we come back, we'll take a break now. When we return, we will continue grading the WWE roster, superstar by superstar for the first 6 months, and we'll get in some NXT guys too, and then, of course, Chapter 4 of the oral history of Impact Wrestling / TNA. More Main Event after this.
Principal Vince just called us.
We got the tension on Saturday again, didn't we?
I'm Judd Nelson.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
The Place to Be Nation and Pro Wrestling Only are proud to present the PWO-PTBN Podcast Network. Join us for a variety of great shows that explore all the facets of professional wrestling.
Join good old Will from Texas for our Place to Be Nation reaction shows and Goodwill Wrestling, which has been kicking since before JR had barbecue sauce.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play and join Chad and Parv as they discuss classic NWA and WCW pay-per-view.
And take in one of our newest podcasts, Exile on Bed Street, and allow Chris Zellner to give you a history lesson about important moments in wrestling's colorful past.
Listen to Johnny, Pete, Parv, and Kelly, the titans of wrestling, as they examine in depth the history of the WWF in the 1970s and 1980s.
And then there's Brainbuster, the wrestling game show, Tag Teams Back Again, the Pro Wrestling Super Show, the All Japan Excite Series, and the Super Extreme Vault for some ECW, ECW.
You can hear all of these great podcasts and more on one feed. Remember, PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network, part of the Place to Be Nation family.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode 38 of the Main Event. I am Scott Criscolo, Jordan Duncan, Andrew Reich, Ben Morse. We've been grading the roster at the half-year point, both WWE, and we'll get to some NXT guys as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Aaron George with his newest recap of Ring of Honor television. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. Jay Martell, the last action hero, the top 25 characters of WWE Hall of Famer Arnold Schwarzenegger. Guys, any curiousness as to who his top five are?
Top five Schwarzenegger characters?
Yes. Top five Arnold Schwarzenegger characters.
I mean, obviously Terminator's in there.
Yeah, I feel like Terminator's the easy one.
Let's
see. Conan's got to be on there.
All right, let's see.
Is Mr. Freeze in there?
How about Junior?
How about Kindergarten Cop? It's not the Puma!
Based on what I saw from that movies tournament a few months ago, I'm sure Mr. Freeze is on someone's list.
Well, here's his top 10. Here's Jay's top 10. And then we'll get to the you can please go and read his article anyway, because his descriptions are fantastic. Number 10 was when he played himself in Pumping Iron.
Mm.
Number 9, Howard Langston / Turbo Man in Jingle All the Way.
Turbo Man.
Number 8, Jack Slater in The Last Action Hero. Mm. Number 7, John Matrix in Commando. He was awesome in Commando.
Yeah.
Number 6, Douglas Quaid in Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Julius Benedict in Twins.
Oh, such a good movie.
Number 4, of course, Dutch in Predator. Because Predator was fucking awesome.
Forgot about Predator.
Number 3, it's not the Tuma! Detective John Kimball in Kindergarten Cop, which I saw in the movies, and I admit it freely. Number 2, Harry Tasker in True Lies.
I love True Lies.
Yeah. That was on TV last night, actually.
Yep, and no surprise, as we mentioned, number 1, the T-100, or 1,000,
or whatever it was. No Conan?
Conan was number, well, he's behind the top. Remember, he did top 25. That was only the top 10.
No, I'm surprised Conan wasn't top 10.
Yeah, I feel like Conan is just as iconic with Arnold as the Terminator.
Conan, I'm not going to go through all of them, but Conan was...
I'd at least throw him in there over the Last Action Hero.
Conan was 11. He had Conan at 11.
What about his character in End of Days?
By the way, Mr. Freeze was 15.
End of Days.
End of Days.
That was what he was promoting when he did
the, when he hit the Triple H
SmackDown. Yeah. Yeah. He was like, "Go watch End of Days."
Let me see. I don't see the End of Days guy in here. Anyway, so anyway, check it out. Jay Martell with his awesome column on the top 25 characters of the Terminator himself. Elsewhere on PlaceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture, the 50th episode of Titans Wrestling. Nice job. NWA President Bruce Tharp joined the guys to talk about that NWA Classics streaming service. Paul Bosch providing the apparently old Houston cards. That's kind of cool. So check it out. The 50th episode of Titans of Wrestling. The guys interviewed NWA President Bruce Tharp.
And who are we getting for our 50th episode?
Chris Bosch.
Is that Paul Bosch's older, younger brother?
Chris? Yes.
He's going to review Jurassic World for us.
All right. Mr. Reich, your NBA team podcasts, you and Mr. Murray.
Good show.
Free agency frenzy, both East and Western Conference. So check those out. Mr. Bayless has your Raw rundown. And on Monday, the guys down the hall, the Kevin Kelly Show, their 38th episode, they had on Mr. Todd Sinclair.
You suck, Sinclair!
So there you go. PlaceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture.
Todd Sinclair, owner of Sinclair Broadcasting, right? That's
well,
his affiliation with ROH?
If he's the referee.
That's what I was saying.
Poor guy.
What was the referee's name? Is it the same person?
Yeah, no, it is the referee.
It is the referee.
It is the referee.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't. Well, Kevin may be able to get him. Who knows?
That poor referee. I remember. I still have the DVDs. That referee got tortured by the fans. Every main event, you suck, Sinclair. And he was a really good referee.
I'm sure that means a lot to him, Andrew.
You have a fan in me.
You got a fan in me.
In me. All right. PlaceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. We got great podcasts, of course, this one coming up, and another special one coming up will be up on the site later tonight, early tomorrow morning as well. And the next episode of the Place B podcast, Mr. Rosero and I will be doing, as the great Gene Snitsky said,
Taboo Tuesday.
2004 will be our next Vintage Vault. So.
Excited for that one.
It's a memorable show for a few reasons.
Era of Snitsky has begun.
Yes, the era of Snitsky. But a very memorable episode for Mr. JR and I because we watched it together and a few interesting things happened that evening. So
Shawn Michaels wrestles on one leg.
Pretty much, yes. That's one of them. It was also Yankees Red Sox and some other fun things as well. So check it out. That'll be coming up next week. All right. We've been grading the roster, and we're going to continue to do that. And Mr. Reich, you are up. And your guy is
Roman Reigns.
Neville.
Okay. I hate to cheat, but if Kevin Owens never showed up, my grade for Neville's arrival would actually be higher than it is now.
Good point.
Because the way that Owens has kind of thrust himself in, and I'm sure that man will get a grade from somebody else later on. You see what I did? That was a tease. Neville did okay, and the thing that made it work was the rumors that he was going to kind of do this kind of gimmicky Mighty Mouse type of gimmick. So everybody was scared that Neville was going to get like the Adam Rose treatment, like a really bad like introductory push into the main roster coming off of a fine singles run on NXT. But they were careful with him after WrestleMania when they brought him in or around that time. I can't remember exactly when he got put into the main roster, but he's done well. He got to the finals of the King of the Ring tournament that was on the WWE network. His matches have been fine. I don't remember – the one problem I have with Neville is that I don't remember one match that really, really stands out yet. You know, like for – you know, there's a couple of other guys that we've talked
probably
about.
Probably seen a match, huh, if anything.
Yeah. There's probably a couple that have been really good. But
the
nothing
Rollins
that
match.
Like, yeah, the, nothing that's like, oh, yeah, this is so great. I can't wait to watch that again.
A couple
again
of the Wade Barrett ones have been pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be
but
good.
I see what you're saying, Reese. There hasn't
been
a lot
of decent ones. We're
the point is, we can rattle off good ones, but like, is there a great, like,
right,
There's a stamp of approval right there for Neville.
Not a signature match.
But I feel like he's gotten himself over as a character pretty well without being a good talker. His agility is amazing. Everyone who watched NXT knew that. Sure. So I'd give him like a B, but just a solid B. You know, going forward, I think things look better for him because I think he's in a really really cush spot in the mid card.
Okay.
I'm always interested when I'm watching Raw and my wife's like kind of watching in the background just to get like kind of the average person's take, because she's someone who's interested in wrestling but doesn't necessarily like it. And she usually loves the high flying guys, because I feel like if you're a non-wrestling fan, the high flying guys are kind of the ones who are like, oh, that's cool, like that grabs your attention. She doesn't like Neville, but not because of his work. She just thinks he looks dumb. Like she thinks his long hair is just kind of like, and when she said it, I was kind of like, oh yeah, like he has the long hair that not really many guys have anymore. But more than anything, like she really doesn't like his entrance. She doesn't like the little cape. She doesn't like the deal. So I was just
maybe it's the mouthpiece.
Maybe, I don't know, man. It was just something I was like, I like Neville a lot. So when she said,
I'm not a fan of the cape. I think the cape's dumb.
Yeah, I was kind of just like, I was like, he's a really.
It.
Yeah,
I like to imagine there's a scenario playing out in the Morris household where Ben has been dropping hints about wanting to buy a cape, and this is his wife's reasoning for not letting him have one.
I'm like, no, Neville.
Does he work for Marvel?
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. C- from Megan Morse.
The only one that matters. Don't worry about mine. Worry about Megan.
She's giving Neville a C minus, or you're giving her a C minus for not letting you have a cape.
I changed my mind. I'm giving Neville a C minus because Megan says so.
Right, right. It's smart move.
Right, JD. You think I'm going to give who I throwing you a curveball? Rusev.
Okay. Let me think. I immediately try to think, okay, what have they done in the past 6 months? Because if there's the biggest problem with the product is everything blends together, you know? Rusev had a little bit of bad luck with the injury. I think he would have won the Intercontinental title or Money in the Bank. I think he would have won one of the two. I tend to think he would have won Money in the Bank if he wasn't injured. I don't know. Maybe it's just the fan in me. I want to give him an A, but I know that I shouldn't. I think Rusev is really, really good. And I think originally people wrote it off and saying that it was Lana was the one getting the heat. And then kind
of
people said, well,
yep,
you know, it's
the character.
Yeah. And then people said it was the character is easy to do. But I really think Rusev is just a really, really good worker. And not just, you know, sometimes when you think, oh, good worker means they can do the right moves. Well, Rusev doesn't do any moves per se that look special or anything. He just gets it. You know, he gets mannerisms, he gets facial expressions and things like that. Most of his year has been feuding with John Cena. And so I guess I have to base most of my grade off of that. And the Fastlane match was really good. The main match was not as good, but was still good. And then the other two matches, I try my best, to ignore that they happened. You know what? I'm giving him an A because he had a tank at WrestleMania. That's all.
Well, it is a great. It's definitely
Justin
great.
Justin Rosero
WrestleMania
just gave him an
ever.
A plus.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Just he had a tank. He gets an A.
Yep,
showing tremendous restraint. Just giving him the A.
Yeah. Right.
He rode a tank. He didn't tank it. So.
A random thought before we move on from Rusev. The kayfabe wise, the Twitter stalker thing, does that cross the line?
No.
It's not in poor taste. I'm not saying it is. I'm just asking.
No, it's not. It's wrestling. Okay. Nothing's in poor taste, for Christ's sakes. You'll have 150
I've heard a lot of
years.
I've heard a lot of backlash about the about him doing the tweets where he's kind of like sneaking up on Lana and people don't like it.
Do you feel like he's gone over the edge?
No.
Too soon.
Lana
he's
will
definitely unforgiven by Lana right now.
Lana will give him Judgment Day soon enough. She's at her breaking point.
Over the limit.
Yeah. She was fully loaded. That's for sure.
Everybody wants her fully loaded.
In your house, the lumberjack.
You It's funny, Ben, you said that as if it's another language. You know, like, I'm going to get the paper in your house to the lumberjacks. It's like, Russell's like, going, yeah, yeah.
It's like speaking Groot, basically. Yeah.
Wait till we get to the WCW names. This will be much funner.
You remember that time, Mayhem? Oh, God. All right. Benjamin. Roman Reigns. No, you know what? I'm not going to give you Roman Reigns because you've already done one Shield guy.
Okay.
So. Sheamus.
I like what you did there because everyone expected him to get Roman Reigns and he got Sheamus instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice swerve. Sheamus finally did what we want. Turned heel. He's an ass kid. In terms of, I think, like, great work. I think is awesome because it's an evolution from his initial, who was just this crazy out of control destroyer back in like 2009. Now I like that he's taken on the characteristic of, I've been here a few years, I've been really successful, I know I can beat guys up. So there's more of an arrogance and more self-assuredness. I think his matches have been good. The ones with Ziggler were exciting and just brutal and enjoyable to watch. With Neville, he had some good ones with some other people. Got lost in the elimination chamber with everyone else, but then came back. Thanks. So I think Sheamus is having a really solid year. I think he's where we've wanted him to be. I think his second half is going feuds. He's a high-level guy, and he has money in the bank, and I think he can bring a different dimension to it in that he is not a weaselly Seth Rollins type. He is a straightforward, I'm going to kick your ass type, but the fact that he has that money in the bank briefcase adds a lot to it. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a real wild card throughout the fall. I'm going to go ahead and give him a B+, because I can't find anything to knock him on. I think he's just been,
that's good.
He's been really good.
Yeah. Okay. Rish.
Yes.
Roman Reigns.
I knew you would do that. Man, if you ask the brass, he gets an A+ because everything, I mean, I'm not saying that he's just getting like coast. He's coasting across and just doing great across the board with according to the main guys. But at the end of the day, he was in the main event of WrestleMania. He was the one getting pinned. So I guess that was just the message of, well, you're almost there, but you're not there yet. So maybe next WrestleMania will be your time. You still got to kind of earn your way in the eyes of the fans. But at the end of the day, it's Vince's decision and Triple H and Stephanie's decision. And it's still all, you know, it's still like all systems go with Roman Reigns as the man. His matches were okay. His one with Daniel Bryan, notwithstanding, it was really good, but you know, you can make the argument of how much of that was Daniel and how much of that was Roman. But the thing that kind of turned me around a little bit on Roman is that I thought the Brock Lesnar match was very good. I thought that he provided a lot in it. And I thought his match with the Big Show at Extreme Rules, the Last Man Standing match, was really, really good. And so it proves to me that he can work. You know, he does have the want to, but that fanfare and that kind of like split opinion about him, it's going to kill him. And I feel like it's just something that's just not going to go away for him. At least it hasn't happened for these first 6 months. So I give him a C, but because Principal Vince found all the paper classes for Roman to attend, his GPA was still good enough to pass.
I think you're way underrating Reigns. I don't think he should be an A level, but I think as much as that first month or so hurt him, like Roosh, to say like he hasn't had a lot of good matches and then rifle off three good matches that he was in like right in a row with three very different opponents, I think you got to give him more credit than you are.
I'm pulling a whiplash on him. I'm pulling a Jake. Yes. I'm being hard on him because I want him to do better. The reason why, though, is because he's being graded on a harder curve because he's got so much to overcome.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right, JD.
I wonder if you started watching Reigns in 2015 from the Fastlane match on, and you had no knowledge of the Rumble and everything that led up to that, how somebody would view him. Because it had to be radically different, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Okay, anyways.
Then you're cutting out all those like bad promos at the end of 2014. Mm-hmm. You're cutting out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the suffer and succotash and all that kind of crap. All right, JD, we'll complete the trifecta. Seth Rollins.
Okay. Sorry, Ben. I won Ben over with the Bella. And I'm not going to give Rollins a bad grade.
I appreciate the consideration.
Yeah. I'll give you what he's good at. I'll give you what I don't like about him. And I'll give you what I can't hold against him. And I'll start with what I can't hold against him is I'm trying my best not to give my grades based solely on booking. I feel like Seth Rollins winning the title was kind of inevitable. We all thought he would cash in. When it happened was a little bit more of a surprise. We thought it happened the night after Mania instead of at Mania, which was kind of a fun surprise. But man, his title reign has kind of been a fat load of crap. I mean, like, he's basically feuded with his biggest feud as a champion has been with Kane, you know? I'm not going to knock his grade down for that. So I kind of have to say, okay, well, how did he do with the hand he was dealt? You go all the way back to January. He was in an incredible match at the Rumble. He had a really good match at WrestleMania with Randy Orton. Maybe I shouldn't say really good, but good enough.
It's okay.
The Ambrose matches have been good. And when you look at his big matches, the pay-per-view matches, the special matches, they've all mostly delivered, some better than others. Probably the Rumble match may be the best one he's had all year. Where I do still struggle to get on the same page with Ben when it comes to Rollins is I don't really like him on the mic. I don't think he's a real good promo. I think he goes out there to be annoying, sort of, which maybe is his thought of, oh, I'm a heel, so I need to be annoying. But his promos don't make me want to watch his matches. His matches make me want to watch his matches, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like an A-plus when the bell rings, when he's got a microphone in his hand or doing something backstage, I'd say like a C-minus. So I'll split the difference.
Wow.
I'll go a little higher because I think he is a really good wrestler. I'll give him a B-plus. Just because I don't want to punish him too much, but I really do think his mic work, it doesn't do it for me at all.
Mm-hmm. I'll surprise you on this one, Jordan, that I think we're a little closer aligned than you may think, and also much more than we were a year ago. Because I think the problem was I think he's still the best in the ring. He's my favorite guy to watch wrestle.
Sure.
And I was really enraptured with his character about 9 months ago because it was refreshing to see someone be such a pure heel and not to worry about cheers. The problem is, especially with the amount of TV network specials, et cetera, and you know, he's going to get interview time every show, it hasn't progressed. And that shtick gets real old, real fast.
When you're in four segments on Raw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the kind of character that overexposure kills. So I think he has good mic skills, but the problem is they haven't kept up with the amount of time he's being given.
That's
he needs
fair.
To do something else. He's playing the same character he played a year ago. And I want to see him, the best characters always continue to evolve. That used to be when you had less TV and you had less pay-per-views, it would be, you could stick with a character like this for, you get two or three years out of it.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
I don't think it was an accident that in January when Rollins started kind of creeping in with that personality of, you know, I'm not afraid of Brock Lesnar. And actually people started to like him more. And I don't think that was an accident.
No. Mm.
All right. Benjamin.
Mm.
Ryback.
For years, people were saying, why didn't WWE hand Ryback the ball? What can he do with it? Well, they finally did this year. They promoted him as a legitimate top-level babyface. They gave him the Intercontinental title. And I don't think you can say he dropped that ball. I think his promos are surprisingly good. And I think it all started when he was on Jericho's podcast, and he basically was defending himself against the CM Punk allegations and gave his story about, you know, reading The Secret and all that. It's kind of crazy that Ryback, who on the surface looks like the meathead of all meatheads, you know, the character that has worked for him is kind of the weird quasi-motivational speaker character who, like, reads Oprah's book club. But hey, if it works, it works. Guys had a string of sneaky, decent to good matches with Bray Wyatt, like we said, really good. Not bad with the Big Show. And I think he's a credible IC champion, and I think he's a good character. I think he'll hold the belt for a little while because they want some stability there. I think the same as, you know, Cena's kind of established the U.S. title. They want Ryback to establish the Intercontinental title. So I think we'll continue to see this Big Show and Miz feud go for a little longer. I could see him revisiting the Bray Wyatt feud, which I would love to see. And as far as a grade, I think he's towards the head of the class, but being realistic, you know, still IC champion is not world champion. It's not main event. So I'll give him a straight B.
Okay. All right. We have gone through the WWE roster. Nice job, gentlemen. Why don't we now start picking the NXT roster? And Rish, we will start with you.
Yes.
I didn't realize how many Fs I would have given for some of these guys.
You're looking at Blake and Murphy right now, aren't you?
No. No. All right. I'm looking at somebody else who begins with a B. I'm looking at two people that begin with a B.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give Mr. Rish one of them. Baron Corbin. Yeah, pretty much. That's the noise I made, too.
Okay. The last time I saw him, and I know I'm not completely caught up on NXT as of the last few weeks, but last I saw he was feuding with Rhino, and they had a match. I can't remember what happened in it, but I think he won it. Mm-hmm. And it's just that Baron Corbin, it's just everything's a fuzz with him because nothing stands out. The character, there really is no promo there. I don't even remember an interview that he's given.
I don't think he's given one.
One, right?
I don't know if he's spoken.
Yeah,
I think he did speak kind of in the prelude
now,
to that.
Now the entrance, the entrance with the beaming light and the you know the diesel truck or whatever that the Mack truck, it's cool.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
someone else.
What's that?
Be a great entrance for someone else.
Exactly. It feels like, I mean, I think I said this about maybe 6 months ago, and it felt like kind of a Batista vibe, where it felt like they were trying to make this work, you know, with the entrance, with the look. And he does have a good look to him, you know, kind of a young guy, tall. He's got a cool finisher, but he's got nothing else, man. Like, I get the same sense out of the first push that Ryback got where, you know, there are some things that you can make work, but man, if you don't have the work rate, if you don't have the desire, that's going to fall on its face. And with Baron Corbin, I definitely have that fear because nothing has really stood out with the guy. I'd probably just give him a D plus.
You know, it's funny you compare him to initial Ryback. It's like Ryback was certainly no miracle worker in the ring, but I don't think you can deny he always had that intangible. He always had the it factor. Like, he always had some connection. Corbin just has friggin' zero, man.
Well,
I mean,
you know what Ryback's intangible is? He got a second chance.
Yeah.
That's his intangible. Baron Corbin needs a kick in the ass. He needs a humbling, if you will, to be told, okay, you're not the guy. You're going to be jobbing to Lucha Dragons for 3 months. You know, and, you know, he's going to have to just kind of eat shit and like it as Triple H was told years and years ago, you know. But, you know, the problem with NXT is these guys aren't in a position where they're so mentally fragile. And Triple H knows this, that if they get deep pushed, they might not want to try to overcome it. They might just quit, you know.
Mm. Maybe that's what they should do then.
Scott Cascola, head of the Baron Corbin fan club.
That's right. Oh, here's somebody else who I'm head of the fan club of. And I'm going to let JD have this one because I'm actually looking forward to this bashing. Bayley.
I'm not going to bash Bayley, dude. I like Bayley.
All right, you're fired. Ben, Bailey.
You're going to get the same, man. I like Bailey, too.
You're fired. Reesh, Bailey.
Bubbles?
I'll end the show right now if that's the way it's going to be. No, I'm only kidding. No.
Oh, wait, no.
No, JD, I'll give you somebody better.
It's streamers, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you somebody better. I'll give you another NXT diva, Becky Lynch.
Okay. Becky Lynch, I'm trying to think of my letter grade first. I mean, her and Sasha Banks were probably one of the five best WWE matches of the year. Yes. So right away, you can't give her a bad grade. I think where I would give her a higher grade is going into that match, everyone knew Sasha was pretty darn good. And I think that was Becky Lynch's coming out party. Becky Lynch is more of someone who we talk about the next 6 months. I really want to see what she does going forward. Because the first 6 months of the year weren't as important maybe as where she's going now. But I'm going to give her, based off of having that one really, really incredible match. And then she was in the four-way match too?
Yeah.
That was another really good match too. So she's in good matches and she does a good job. I know, Scott, you like it. I'm not a real big fan of her look right now, like the steampunk type thing. Yeah. But that doesn't really matter a whole lot to me.
I think she looked better before.
Yeah. I'll give her a B+. I think she's really solid. And I mean, if she just keeps working with these same crap girls, here's what's interesting about NXT. You know, in WWE, you say they all work the same people and it gets boring. NXT, they all work the same people and it's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't get tired of Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks or Charlotte or Bayley or Emma, even any combination of them against each other. All sound
good
to me.
The girls down there are great because, yes, they are the same four girls wrestling each other, but they're not scared of doing different things.
Right.
Yeah, that's
and
a
that's
good
what makes it work.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what else is neat about the NXT Divas is every time you think that we've kind of peaked and seen the best one, you get surprised in the sense that, like, when...
We thought it was Charlotte, and then Sasha comes along. Yeah.
Well, even going back, like, everyone thought it was Paige, and then I think people were like, oh, Charlotte's better than Paige. Oh, wait, Sasha's better than Charlotte. And then it's almost like, oh, wait, Becky Lynch. I don't think anyone thinks Becky is necessarily
better than
Sasha yet, but just the fact that she was able to hang.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, wow, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hopefully that pipeline can continue until we get to, like, an Alexa Bliss, and it's like... Oh, no, she's not as good as them, you know?
Yeah. I actually like Becky Lynch's. I like the outfit.
Yeah,
I know. I like the orange hair. I think it's cool. It's different. I think it suits her. Benjamin.
Yes.
Bull Dempsey. No, I'm just kidding. A+.
You and I like Bull Dempsey.
I love Bull Dempsey. Yeah. I think he should get the...
Star of Bull Dempsey.
Let's see. How about the whole Colin Cassidy, Enzo, Carmella trio?
They had to take some time to grow on me. I wasn't initially sold on them.
I wasn't either, actually.
But they've really grown on me. In the ring, I don't think they're going to light the world on fire. Although Cassidy's actually pretty good, especially for a big man. But where they succeed is, one, Enzo is this generation's road dog. Just a guy.
Yes.
He's going to get over solely on selling and talking. Well, talking and selling.
Yep. He's a giant ball of energy.
Yes. And just that kooky charisma. What I like about Cassidy is he brings me back to almost like a Kevin Nash Diesel vibe, where you're so used to the big guys just being kind of these like characterless kind of just they're just big. That's all there are. And the fact that he's actually got a character, like he's cool. I like that. So they're so weird, you know, it's just such a weird combo. It's like, but in a good way, because I think every tag team we see is so prepackaged. It's like, you know, they've got matching tights and they've got matching this, which I'm not knocking matching tights and matching working styles, but this kind of like odd couple tag team, I feel like we haven't seen it in a while. And it's a nice change of pace. I also think Carmella is finally starting to click. I think it took her a long time. And I think when they added her, it actually hurt the act more than it worked, but I think she's finally winning the crowd over. So there's not a lot of cracks in their game. I would give them solid B+. They're over enough that they would have an A if A, they were the champs, or B, their matches were blow away. But I think on just how successful they are with what they have to work with, B+.
Okay.
I have to warn Professor Morris that they may have he may have given him a B plus, but when it comes to them, you can't
teach that.
Yeah, they were unteachable. Yes, they're like the sweat hogs of the main event.
But in a way that actually makes sense. Like Ben is saying, they are what they are.
Yeah.
You either embrace it or you hate it.
I would be very interested to see what happens to them if they get to the main roster, because we've talked before on the show about guys who seem like they're NXT lifers. And for a while, I thought these guys were NXT lifers, but now part of me is starting to think maybe they can translate it. Like they've made me a believer.
I'm still
snuck that one in.
I hate your guts.
Ah!
I still right now don't think it will translate to the big roster. I think they're going to have the Adam Rose problem. I do, but we'll see. Riche,
yes,
Charlotte.
Man, if we had done like a report card from the last 6 months of 2014 or whatever, it would probably be a lot better. The problem with Charlotte, and it's kind of the same problem that Neville ran into because of Kevin Owens, is that Charlotte's great. She was kind of the trendsetter for the NXT Diva division and what made it such like a high work rate type of division the way it is now. But there's somebody that has passed her up that has, and I don't want to say that she's like blown by Charlotte, but you know, Charlotte is somebody who's really good, but after dropping the belt in December, you know, since then, it just feels like she's been biding her time for the call up, and it just hasn't come yet. And so she's kind of in this purgatory where she's teaming with Bayley. She's kind of a heel, kind of a face every now and then, depending on who they pair him with so that they can kind of have a match for the weekly programming. But her matches are still really good. Height never goes away, you know, so she's always going to have that, you know, that athleticism and that height to her. So I'd probably just give her like a C+, because even though she's really good and she kind of set the trend for what the NXT Divas are going to be going forward, I don't know if she was the best of the bunch, and she hasn't really accomplished anything lately.
I think you made a good point, Sharice, though, is that she should have probably been either called up or at least taken off NXT right after she lost the title.
Yes.
Because there's nothing is happening for her now. It's weird that she's not on the main roster yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's
almost like Bayley, she'll end up in TNA. So.
But it's like they really should have struck while the iron was hot with her. I think she'll still be a big deal when she comes up, but if they had her drop the title to Sasha and then not had her right next to Sasha for the next 6 months and just, you know, taking them apart and put her on the main roster, I think she would be much better off.
Do you feel the same way I do though about the Sasha Charlotte thing?
Oh yeah,
the overlapping there. Like, do you feel like she's lapped her that badly?
No, yeah, that's the problem. Is I think that if she were on the main roster, we maybe wouldn't realize it as much. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they're right on the same show still, so it's evident.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, JD.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor.
Tough thing for me with NXT is trying to remember what happened in 2015 compared to late 2014. But I guess it doesn't really matter with a guy like Balor, because whatever I think of has been pretty good. Entrances, A++. The matches, I don't know. I'm sure I might get met with some resistance from you guys, but I feel like Finn Balor, when the bell rings, not overrated, but expect a little more. Not that his matches are bad, but it's like, where's the blowaway match? You know what
no
I mean?
Resistance here. I'm with you, man. I agree.
Yeah, you know,
I actually agree with that.
Okay, cool. And you know, and I think he's got that potential. So it's kind of like maybe they're holding him back from when they really pull the trigger on him. Maybe that's what it is. I don't think it's that he's incapable of having the really great matches, but he just hasn't yet. So while like when you think Finn Balor, you think of the entrance first thing first, and you just want to say, oh, A+. But I can't give him an A+. I don't think I even would give him an A because of that. You know, for me, like an A+ person or an A, even an A, is somebody who you can point to not just one moment, but several moments of the 6 months. Say, what about this? What about this? What about this? Excuse me. And with Balor, outside of the entrance, I can't point to a ton. But I can't point to anything that says, well, I would knock him down for this. I would knock him down for that. So I'm just going to say B+ to play it safe there. I want to see the really great Finn Balor match, though. I haven't seen it yet, but I do think it's coming.
I think you're going to see it Saturday morning.
Yeah, you think? Cool.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's any doubt you'll see it Saturday morning.
I was talking about It Factor before, Balor's the guy with It Factor to spare.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying Finn Balor gets a B, but the Demon gets an A?
No, Kane does not get an A.
No. No, the guy, Jeff Torborg's son does not get an A. Oh, wait, that was Venom. Sorry, never mind. No, it was Demon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The Demon. Yeah.
Who gives a shit? It was 2000 WCW.
Yeah.
Bailey belongs there. All right.
Next episode, we're giving a report because of WCW 2000.
Hey, Rich and I will be all over that.
Hey, I watched Fall Brawl today.
Hey, yeah, you're right there.
Asia Gross. Gets a B+.
Kiwi gets a D.
Oh, I hate you.
Benjamin, Hideo Itami.
Hideo Itami was kind of in the same boat for me as Balor, in that I was waiting for him to deliver the potential I heard about. I think, sadly, right before he's going to show it, where he won the tournament, went into the Andre Battle Royal, and they had the little backstage segment, I really started to see glimpses.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back with like a real fire, because, yeah, I feel like he got better, but he's still not where he could be. Mm-hmm. Obviously, kind of gets the incomplete because of the injury, but in terms of what he showed, again, as with Finn Balor, feels like he's holding back, feels like we haven't seen him at his best. Part of that, I think, is he maybe isn't used to working the show because he's an Arch Japan guy where we're used to the much longer, stiffer matches. I think he was starting to adjust. So I'm going to put him in there to be minus because I glad, but I think he has a lot of room to grow.
You have to get Superintendent. I think we have to get Superintendent McMahon to fix the Wi-Fi in this high school.
Catch that.
Good grief,
Ben! Ben, what'd you give him?
Do that again, Ben. Do like the last couple of things you said. You kind of broke up a little bit.
I'm honest, because I don't think there's any room, but I do think room to grow, and I also think when he comes back, he will, because I think he was right on the verge of it when he got hurt, and getting hurt. Good, maybe good for him in the sense that it gives him a little more comfortable and then come back to a huge reception, kind of reset.
Hmm. Okay. Reesh.
Yes.
Mojo Rawley.
Sami Zayn.
Okay. With Sami, they obviously held him back on purpose to try to build a feud with Owens after he took the belt off of him, you know. And I think the pay per view that they had, or the special that they had, I want to rival. I think it was in February. So
yeah, it was.
But the problem was we didn't see a lot of Zayn because he was selling the injury.
Yeah.
So, and then he does a couple of interviews on the weekly tapings. Because he was doing the tour overseas with the WWE. So we didn't see him, you know, on the weekly show until I think right when he wrestled Owens again on the next special. So I'm judging Sami Zayn.
He had a match with Rhino, I think, between.
Yeah. Them. Yeah. So I've missed that. I'm sorry. But
that's
it. I'm basically judging Sami based on mainly two matches with the same guy, but I'm still giving him a B+. Because, mm-hmm. And I'm kind of going all fanboy on this one, and I'll raise my hand to that. But Sami, I don't think, unlike Daniel Bryan and unlike Hideo Itami, I don't feel like Sami hurt himself with the injury. And maybe it's because of the match, the U.S. title challenge, open challenge that he had with John Cena, and they did he did a really great job there. And then he followed that up with a rematch with Owens that really stood out, even though it was more of a brawl than it was a match. But I feel like Sami is able to make the most out of his matches better than any other wrestler on the roster. So you know, I'll go with value over those small results, and I'll say I give him a B plus because I mean I just like the guy. And I think going forward things will look even better for him because he'll be healthy, and I anticipate him being on the main roster by the time he rehabs from his shoulder problem.
Okay. All right. The last two were, in my opinion, the two most important. I'm purposely skipping Tyler Breeze because I give him an F. But
oh, boo.
Yeah.
I think Scott he's really not bringing the venom on this, man.
I'm just
I feel like you're compensating for Jordan's lack of negativity this episode by really doubling up.
Yes. No, I'll do Tyler Breeze because there's only this segment much longer. We're sadly not going to get to the TNA book tonight, but this has been fantastic.
That's why Scott's angry.
I mean, yeah, angry. You guys talk too much, and now I can't get into more puppet. But Tyler Breeze, I think he's another one. I think that's been there too long. I'll give his first 6 months. I'll give him a B minus because I think he still had good matches, but I think he's been there too long now. He's kind of like Charlotte.
He's treading water a bit.
Yeah, either leave or don't leave, or get move him up or don't move him up. I don't know what they plan on doing. So
Scott, before you go to me and my next pick, let me throw a main roster one at you so we can get your letter grade. Okay.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Triple H.
a million pluses.
Alpha. He gives him alpha.
Yeah, he is alpha. He is the alpha and the omega. And if none of you like it, you're all fired. Because, you know, one person seems to think that if I don't like it, I like nothing. So,
good grief. So the H stands for honors.
JD knows who I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm flipping a coin because there's two left. The two big ones are left. One of each gender. So, JD.
Yes.
Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Did I get any divas?
No.
Do you want Sasha Banks then?
No, let's
Ben, who's left. You really want me to? I'll do it if you want.
No, I'm really enjoying Jordan Duncan Diva Expert tonight.
Well, stay on for the rest of the ride because Sasha Banks, I would go with. I'm trying to think of the other grades we've given people throughout the night and kind of base it off that too. I think she was in one of the small handful of best matches of the year with Becky Lynch. We already talked about that since they already got Becky Lynch. But she's just a great character too. Not just good. A good wrestler, but a great character. She really, really gets it. I don't think anyone's going to give her an A plus. I think she's, in a lot of ways, I mean, I know the next guy we're going to get to is really, but I think in a lot of ways she's the MVP of NXT, and maybe even the company of the first 6 months. Just been incredible, incredible. No down points, really. I mean, whatever she's in there doing, she does well. She's delivers great matches. She's got the character down. She's just really, really, really darn good. And for the next 6 months, I don't see it shifting at all. So I'm just going to go A+ because I don't think anyone else has got that. And I think she deserves that.
Well done, JD.
I think the next person might get a similar grade, though.
Because Ben's whining, I'm going to give him Bailey to end the show. So go ahead. He's going to give her an A. He's going to give her an A anyway. So
I would give Bailey a B.
All right.
Let's be fair. Let's not go out of control.
What makes Sasha great, just to end that, is that they have some great women's wrestlers down there, and she's still better than them.
So much better, yeah.
That's the thing.
It's almost hard to, like, make you believe whoever she's up against can beat her, you know?
Right. Ben Morse. Kevin Owens.
The best word to describe Kevin Owens is undeniable, in the sense that the minute he found the door and got into WWE, which most people never thought he would do, he used to be just another guy on the roster, developmental or otherwise. His presence, the way he carries himself, and the work he does, he won't be denied not just his spot in WWE, but being at the very top. Comes into NXT, immediately dominates, not necessarily even because of how good he is, but because you couldn't picture him doing anything else. He is that strong of a character and that good of a worker in whatever he does, whether it's beating the crap out of someone or stalling and getting out of the ring. There was no way he was going to feud with Baron Corbin for 3 months. This guy went straight to the top for a reason. You put him, and he outgrew NXT within 4 months, which is insane. And when they put him in there with Cena, in what could have been just a one-off, he refused to let it be. His chemistry with Cena on the mic, the matches they did in the ring, just there's no way Kevin Owens can't be the hottest thing in wrestling. He won't let it. And that just amazes me. Just like when we complain about guys on the roster who are complacent, guys who have been treading water for the longest times, you know, the Dolph Zigglers of the world, the guys who just can't seem to get to that next level. Kevin Owens is the guy who comes in and says, F it, I'm going there. And I think I talked about Seth Rollins, the refreshing thing about Seth Rollins, besides his character earlier in the year, is that he bucked the trend of what Vince said on his Stone Cold podcast, refusing to take the brass ring. That Rollins seemed like a guy who, if he didn't feel he was being utilized properly, he would say something about it. I really got that sense with him. I get that same sense probably to a 10th degree with Kevin Owens. This is a guy who knows how good he is, knows what he can do, and is going to go in. He showed Triple H. Now he's showing Vince. He's showing everyone. He's a little maybe overexposed right now because WWE is very excited about their new toy, and they need to put him on 5 shows a week. But has it hurt him? Negligible. Easy A+.
Yeah.
And we talk about the Holy Trinity, you know, that was at WrestleMania 30 at the beginning. Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and The Rock. Mm-hmm. Who gave Kevin Owens big props on Twitter and their podcast? Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and The Rock. Do you need any other endorsement but that?
Absolutely not.
You know,
and his 6 months will be just as great.
What really makes me think Owens deserves the grade too is it's been in my brain ever since I think it was Luke Harper we were talking about, and Ben had Luke Harper and he said send him to NXT, have him fight Joe, and I thought, man, I'd love to see Luke Harper fight Kevin Owens. And you know, the thing is, I want to see everybody fight Kevin Owens.
Yeah,
you know,
anyone.
Like
put anyone in there with him.
Exactly, like Kevin Owens versus blank. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good.
They tease something with Cesaro.
Yeah,
if that happens, wow.
Yeah, Kevin Owens Cesaro would be great. I still want to see the Regal match that they kind of alluded to with the nose pull or the mouth pull. You know, there's so much that he could do.
What's going to happen though is the next 6 months. I think he gets the U.S. title and then just holds on to it like he's the friggin' dragon in Lord of the Rings, hoarding his gold, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just won't let it go and just dominates people. And I think by WrestleMania next year, he's set up for a big spot.
Yeah, well deserved too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, fantastic job. This show seemed like it really went fast because I didn't really I look and I realized, you know, the time went up, and I want to give, you know, the wonderful history of TNA its due diligence.
Sure.
So
the air it needs to breathe.
Exactly. So on our next episode, we are going to do all nonstop TNA from beginning to end. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
TNA, total nonstop,
total nonstop
2006,
action.
A whole lot of Jackie Gator.
That's right, and we're going to do 2006. We're going to actually double up. Not only were we going to do a special thing with the current TNA product, a special something.
If there is a product by the time we have our next.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We will do 2006 and 2007 on our next episode. So, guys, excellent job. And a great 6 months of wrestling, hopefully, ahead. For Andrew Reich, Jordan Duncan, Ben Morse, I'm Scott Criscola. You've all been in the main event. Put away your lawnmower and have a good 2 weeks.
Okay, are we still grading Raw special guests? Because if so, I give Machine Gun Kelly an A+.
I would tell him, but he already shut up.